If you are trying to land at JFK at rush hour, there is no nonverbal communication, Greenberg says. It's people talking to people, so you need to be darn sure you understand what's going on. You can say that two Koreans side by side don't need to speak English, but if they are arguing about what the guys outside said in English, then language is important. Greenberg wanted to give his pilots an alternate identity. Their problem was that they were trapped in roles dictated by the heavy weight of their country's cultural legacy. They needed an opportunity to step outside those roles when they sat in the cockpit, and language was the key to that transformation. In English, they would be free of the sharply defined gradients of Korean hierarchy: formal deference, informal deference, blunt, familiar, intimate, and plain. Instead, the pilots could participate in a culture and language with a very different legacy. The critical part of Greenberg's reform, however, is what he didn't do. He didn't throw up his hands in despair. He didn't fire all of his Korean pilots and start again with pilots from a low-power distance culture. He knew that cultural legacies matter, that they are powerful and pervasive, and that they persist long after their original usefulness has passed. But he didn't assume that legacies are an indelible part of how we are. He believed that if the Koreans were honest about where they came from and were willing to confront those aspects of their heritage that did not suit the aviation world, they could change.